give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. All right, Gamal Mash here. Welcome so much to the June 2016 edition of the Without a Roof radio program. I want to make sure that everyone's aware that this is FM 90.1, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is the Bernie episode, man. We usually get some studio audience members just to kind of hang out and see what's going on, but unfortunately, fortunately for them, they're at Bernie. So we've got four studio guests here. I really feel blessed for this. I'm just going to quickly introduce them, then we're going to land and kind of do a quick intro. We've got AJ. He's a student at Chico State, Master's of Social Work. We got Mark. He's an intern at Youth for Justice. Carrington Scott Forbes, music producer. And we're going to have a nice little interview, a conversation with Eric, who lives at Stairways Programming. But coming back around, man, AJ, welcome to the Without a Roof radio program.
How's it going?
We're doing good, man. What can we know about AJ, man, before we get started? What do you like to do, man? What's the funnest thing you do?
I love going backpacking when I can.
Ooh, me too.
When I can.
When you can?
Yeah.
Can't backpack every day.
Mm-mm.
Unless you're homeless.
That's true.
What the show's about, man.
Very much true.
And it's not fun. Five-day backpack trip's good. 5 years, not so much.
Very different.
Not
very,
so
very
much.
Different.
Very, very different. Mark, welcome.
Yeah. Thank you. It's good to be here.
What do you do for fun, Mark?
Me? I train. I do martial arts these days.
Awesome.
I play games. I don't do, like, I a lot of things I do for fun these days is really about self-improving myself, you know, like mentally and physically is actually what I do a lot of the time, and I just like hanging out with people.
Yeah, I can say you're a wonderful person, Mark. It's been a pleasure having you come to Youth for Justice. It really has.
And Mark, it's been a pleasure being there.
Mark has done some spoken word for us today. He's actually been Telebration that was in the fall, right?
Yeah.
November. And spoken word. Then he was at the Palooza. So mm-hmm. Mark's going to give us some. Really...
If any of you were there, you would know me by my stage name, Alexander Wolf.
There you go, Alexander Wolf.
I'm hoping that catches on eventually.
It will. It will.
Yeah. Everybody can just call me Wolf for the rest of the show.
or W for short. Carrington Scott Forbes, what's up, man?
Hey, not much.
What do you do for fun, Carrington?
Well, when I'm not busy, I play guitar or hike. I also enjoy backpacking and traveling.
Traveling.
Seeing things.
You've backpacked all 48 states, right?
Yeah, I've been, all 48 states, yeah. All 48 of all 48 of the main states. I haven't been to Alaska or Hawaii yet.
That was like a back in time in 1940, all 48 states were those 48 states. Eric, welcome to the Without a Roof radio program, man.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
What do you do for fun, Eric?
What do I do for fun? For starters, you know, today's Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. You know, Thursday night market. You know, I like to listen to music and hang out with, you know, the loved ones, the family.
I can share a beautiful story with Eric. We do this internship at Youth for Justice, and just as after it got started back in 2015 for some money we raised with the Poor People's Film Festival, the first one, I literally said, Eric, man, would you want to work for an hour for like $10? And I can remember the look on your face. You're kidding me. I said, no. And you just hugged me, dude. You gave me like this huge bear man hug. And then you went out in the back of the Peace and Justice Center, man. You came back in an hour later. You were sweaty. You actually had blisters and stuff. And I looked out the back, man. It was like something out of a movie. You know, it's just like you did 3 hours worth of work in an hour, man. So that was a really cool memory. Thanks for making that memory.
Well, thank you. You know, I appreciate you guys giving me that opportunity, you know, and I'll gladly do it again. And believe it or not, I'm actually, you know, right now searching for employment. I'm part of the Target team. I'm staying at the Stairways Programming. Mm-hmm. And I'm 24 years old. You know, I've been in Chico here for a year now, and I got a resume and everything, got a birth certificate, you know, social security card. I got my ID. And, you know, my main experience is in the food industry, or, you know, general labor. I have a customer service. I've worked in sales, mainly, you know, maintenance, landscaping. I've been a busboy, you know, a dishwasher, a prep cook. Honestly, it doesn't really matter, you know. I'm just looking for some employment. You know, I'm trying to get my own place. I'm trying to depend on myself. I used to stay on the streets myself. Like I said, I've been here for a year, and I was on the streets for like 8 months, and I'm glad that there's a lot of places like the Stairways Program and the Peace and Justice Center, you know, that are there to help out people, you know, and I'm just looking for some help myself.
How do people get a hold of you, man? If someone's hearing this going, I like this guy, how do I get a hold of him? How are we going to do that?
Well, my number is 530-327-4624.
What was that again? I forgot it. Didn't have time to write it down.
Again, that is 530-327-4624.
Awesome, man. You know, and it's such a blessing because I've known you and Autumn now well over a year. And it was just so cool seeing, you know, you both get into Stairways Programming. Tell me a little about your experience on the Target team. Maybe explain what the Target team is for our listening audience and what your experience has been.
Okay, gladly. Well, for starters, the Target team, you know, I don't know, it's been a blessing, really. I'm really appreciative, you know, and really blessed to, you know, be part of this, you know, being able to have this opportunity, you know. They got me off the streets, and they've given me a home to stay, you know, a roof mm-hmm. under my head, you know, somewhere to shower, you know, somewhere to, you know, feel safe. And
but the Target team specifically is Stairways Programming, social workers there, and people that guests and community members is what people at Stairways are called. They go out with Chico PD and outreach to people in homeless situations. Is that a good thumbnail for what the Target team does?
Definitely. I would like to say so. I mean, I like to say that the energy that you give is the energy that you receive. So, you know, like a teacher, when you go to a classroom and, you know, you're teaching, the attitude that you bring out, you know, the way that you are, you know, as much effort as you give, you know, that's how much you're going to receive. And I feel like it's the same, you know, with the Target team. I like to say, you know, thank you to Sergeant Scott. And, you know, the whole Chico PD, really, for the way that, you know, they started to treat people, you know, they really came at it about it a different perspective, you know, a whole different approach about it. And like I said, the energy that you give, you know, is the energy that you receive. And, you know, they're really trying to help people now, you know. It's a whole lot, it's really different from when I first got here, you know, and my whole attitude, you know, toward the police in general. But, I mean, that, you know, the outreach, they're out here, you know, trying to, you know, help us out. They got the, you know, the ticket, you know, program. They can help you get back home if you have a place to stay, you know, and they can confirm that. They have a lot of help around here. They're really just trying to, you know, get to know you and see what your situation is like, really.
How do they reach you again, man?
How do you reach me? Like I said, my phone number is 530-327-4624, and my email is topete650@gmail.com.
I just want to do a quick story about, I think it's called the HELP program. And I'm forgetting the name of that police program that helps people get to where they might want to be outside of Chico with a bus pass. But we had someone that we work with in the Chico Peace and Justice Center was disabled. And we literally got him back south somewhere. I don't remember the name of the state. It's been almost a year. But he literally, first thing he said when I outreached to him, I said, so if you could have one thing, what would you want? He said, I'd like to see my brother, and I haven't seen him in 10 years. Like a month and a half later, he was there.
Wow.
Through that. Yeah, wasn't that a while? That's what I'm saying, Mark. You know, so anyway, thanks a lot for sharing the insights on that. Program, what we're looking at here, guys, we're looking at a wonderful pre-record I'm going to do next. It's actually Stairways, Esplanade House. Esplanade House is a transitional community for parents and women and fathers and mothers and fathers and their kids to, you know, get themselves back on track and to end homelessness. And they celebrated their 25th anniversary, and they did that during their annual graduation dinner that they do. And they did it at the Chico Women's Club last week. So I got some really cool interviews around that, plus the chief executive officer of a community action agency that physically is the umbrella for the Esplanade House. That's Tom Tenorio, and he kind of ends that interview. Well, then we're going to jump off and have a really cool interview with AJ about Chico Area Transients. It's a wonderful, wonderful webpage that he's created with Chico State students to kind of raise awareness around, you know, homelessness and, you know, why people are here or not, you know, as far as Chico. Going to go back to Mark, and he's going to give us his written word. We're going to end it with a really beautiful, beautiful spoken word by Courtney Burns. All this and more on People Power Radio. I'm here with a couple of grads from this year's class, 2016, for Esplanade House. What's your name, sir?
My name's Anthony.
Anthony, how much help did you get from the Esplanade House, and how proud are you to be a graduate here this afternoon?
I got a tremendous amount of help from the Esplanade House. They were great, opened up the doors to me. I am so excited to graduate. I mean, it's just the beginning of it, but it just the road's just going to keep on going, and I'm just going to keep on going with it.
What do you see as next for you?
Graduating school.
What are you taking?
I'm going to take business management.
Anthony, it's a pleasure meeting you. And you, ma'am?
My name is Brittany.
Brittany, it's a pleasure to meet you. So tell us how happy you are, because I can see it on your face, but this is a radio show. So tell people how happy you are to be graduating and some of your experiences at Esplanade.
I'm extremely happy. I couldn't ask for a better place to live and have a family to share it with. And I'm proud of myself and I'm proud of my family.
And what's next for you?
Going through school as well.
What are you taking?
I'm going to be an LVN.
My daughter's thinking of being a nurse, so she'll like to hear this. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience, Jeff?
Coming from a well-to-do, hippie-type family who were advocates in a lot of different things, but the way that we used to advocate in the 60s and 70s just doesn't quite work today. But I kind of fell in their footsteps in the addiction process and things like that. It took me since 2009 to go through the different supplied entities here in town and really give myself to them. I had to not only give myself, but allow them to give themselves to me, because a lot of people here in Chico want to do that. They want to give you a piece of themselves to carry on. And I think in doing that, I have secured new things and new light in my life. I will forever have ties to this community because of the things that I've been through and the things that I've come through.
How proud are you of Ajiana?
Of Ajiana, I am one of the most proud advocates I am of her. She has. Aside of her family, I think I am her number one fan.
Jeff, thanks so much, man.
Okay, thank you so much.
Ajiana, I got to get this thing right. Ajiana. I have to say, you know, it's nice to see you because we did that little video interview like 3 years ago. It's amazing how 3 years is math.
It's amazing.
That's back when you were volunteering in the store.
Yes. Actually, that was one of the multitude of jobs that I meant to talk about today that I didn't get a chance to. Was I did a little bit of everything when I lived at the Esplanade House, and being the donations coordinator was one of the great opportunities I had to really experience another aspect of the Esplanade House program.
So for me, you know, I got a little teary-eyed. I know you got a little teary-eyed, so I was teary-eyed, but it was so cool for me to see, you know, how far you progress, and now you're working in behavioral health.
Yes.
It's awesome. Tell us a little bit about that. And did you get an associate's or a bachelor's, or what's your background?
Well, I had my associate's before I moved into the Esplanade House. And actually, for a behavioral health worker, you don't even have to have an associate's degree, but I do have the college units that accumulate to qualify for a behavioral health worker. I actually work for Stepping Stones. Is the department that I work for. It's a drug and alcohol perinatal program. It's an outpatient day treatment program. And we work with pregnant or parenting moms, and they go to group 3 days a week, two or three depending on what stage they're in, and we provide childcare where they are, their group, and a myriad of other resources. It's really full circle for me. I graduated from that program 20 years ago before it was a county program, so I really have the experience to be able to give back. You know, I've lived it, and I get to continue living it and offering my experience to the community.
I'm sure you're an excellent social worker for the people that you serve. Maybe you could give us some thoughts for the graduates today and as they move forward in the community. What would you say to them?
I think the big theme for me today was just be true to yourself. And that's one of the messages I try to give my own children, and I would offer to any human being on the planet, but especially people making big changes in their life, is biggest blessings come from being true to who you are and loving and compassion and genuine, and that whole, you know, it sounds so cliche, but it's so true. Never give up. Every what we deem as a setback or a failure is just an opportunity to do it again. And what a tremendous opportunity that is.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I got Tom Tenorio. He's a chief executive officer at California Action Agency, which oversees the Esplanade House. Did I get all that correct?
Well, Community Action Agency here in Butte County, yes.
Try to explain for folks in Chico and Butte County and the surrounds why Esplanade is so important and so personally fulfilling for you.
What it does for me, Bill, is it just continues to demonstrate how the human spirit can be as resilient as we need for it to be, because, you know, we all go through life's challenges, and sometimes we truly do benefit from a little help from our friends and from those who really care. And that's what the Esplanade House program is all about. That's what I get out of it, is, you know, people just want to be able to help one another, and this is the result of it.
What words of wisdom, or words anyway, would you give to the, I counted maybe a couple of dozen folks that graduated, which is just a wonderful experience to see that these mothers and dads and children moving on to stable environments. What would you say to those folks, Tom?
To remember what they've learned, because what they've learned is that they can tap themselves for a lot of things that they may not have thought that they could. And yes, we were there to kind of help coach them along the way, maybe to help remind them that, yes, this is how you deal with conflict. This is how you persevere. But the point is that they have that also within themselves, and sometimes they just need to be remind themselves of that.
You know, my understanding, kind of word on the street, is, you know, that you've kind of lost your grant money. I think it was $150,000, and it was due to the fact that, you know, you got to be 30 days clean and sober to come into the Esplanade House. Is that a correct assessment of what the situation is?
That's a correct assessment. It's the difference that has emerged between housing readiness and housing first, and I realize that it kind of gets at a philosophical approach, and while I'm not suggesting that there's any one answer or strategy, but that there's real benefit from having, you know, multiple tools available, and the sobriety expectation really seems to have worked for us, as well as the required participation in support services, because that's the other issue that folks tended to call a barrier, is that we do really want for people to participate in support services, as opposed to, you know, being able to do that and accommodate it at their speed. So we're you know, I guess kind of looking at the same issue just a little differently.
So you see yourself maybe creating stronger partnerships with, you know, folks like Skyway as you see folks come in to your program? Or
oh yes, I really see the whole community of homeless service providers as being just on a continuum, and maybe that's not even the right metaphor, because we're all doing similar things in different ways and trying to achieve the same goal. We're trying to help people to, you know, just be all that they can be, and so I really see us being able to work more closely together in the near future.
Awesome. Any parting comments? Or maybe, you know, I'm kind of looking at the 25 plus 25. What do you see? Where do you see this wonderful organization in 25 years?
Oh gosh, I see it as being, you know, continuing to be relevant, but actually growing in its partnership and collaboration with others throughout our community, because, you know, we've been held out as a model, and while, you know, sometimes that works and for you and against you, it doesn't mean that we can't be better, and that's what we want to continually work at, is how can we be better.
I'll tell you, I did a quote, because I told, this is another place down in SAC, the Tubman House. Someone had asked me, you know, how successful are they? And I said, they're 100% successful, because they bring women and children that are pregnant with child, and they give their children a place to stay. So what would you say to a comment like that about success factors? I mean, to me, every single child that has a roof is a success.
I would totally agree with you, Bill. I mean, we've seen it all. We've had births on site. We've even had a death on site, because an elderly grandparent of a resident came and stayed and passed on, and everything in between. You know, it's life, I guess, at its real.
All right, welcome back to the studio. I'm really, really pleased to say, Addison, one of our wonderful, wonderful guests, has showed up. Addison's been backpacking around. I had the opportunity to talk with him just before he left. Welcome to the studio, Addison Winslow.
Hey, Bill. Sorry for being a little late. I was napping.
He was napping. The best travelers always use that as an excuse. It's good. Mm-hmm. I love it. So we're going to be hearing from Addison, man, his whole experience. He's someone that I've been following on Facebook, and I would say he's a wordsmith and an adventurer. Those are the two words that pop in my head. AJ, man, welcome to the studio. What's your name? Should we just use AJ or AJ?
Yeah, AJ works. My name's AJ Burnt.
AJ Burnt?
Yeah.
All right, AJ Burnt. Tell us about the Chico area transients, man. The social media. And then, sorry, I'm going to wind this back a little bit. I met AJ last year in November for our Homeless and Runaway Youth Awareness Month, and he did this really cool thing, man, this box city down on Chico State campus. And from there, he kind of had some other ideas that led to Chico area transients. So maybe you can just give us a broad, little small brush on the box city and then tell us about this new project.
Sounds good. Well, box city was partially through the social work club on campus, so the Masters of Social Work Club, and working also with like Sixth Street Center for Youth and a bunch of other organizations around town. And it was using an event that happens every Wednesday called Writing for Donuts, where individual youth write stories, poems, really anything. And then it gets posted, and we put them onto boxes to kind of this visible art that we could that could be seen on campus. And it was really successful. We got a lot of individuals on campus coming and looking and talking with us. And it was a really cool, powerful kind of message. And we plan on doing that as a club next year as well. And then as we kind of have transitioned, this really started, this Chico Transients, as a school project by one of our classes, for one of our classes. And one of our professors posed the idea of one of the things that we could do for community organizing was, how do we change the language in Chico surrounding those individuals who are experiencing homelessness? And the big word is transient. A majority of the individuals in Chico who are experiencing homelessness or marginally housed are from this area. But this word transient has really been able to take over as a description, and it's not really the case. So our idea, our group, and there were seven of us in this group, was to see if individuals, well, actually really what it is the bigger population within this county that are considered transients or look like transients are college students. A majority of the college students who do come here come for service to get an education and then leave soon after. So we thought, what if we can try and start changing the idea and have college students declare themselves as a transient? Because really, in essence, us as college students are transients. I'm a transient. I moved here to go to school, and I will be moving to LA after and leaving this area. But for me, I'm not being marginalized in that way. But how come this population who is a part of this community is? And that's kind of what we wanted to do.
That's a wonderful project, because it really is used as a disparaging word. It really kind of defines, it's like you and I had a talk at Youth for Justice. It's almost used transferable to an alien, like, why should a transient be here kind of deal. And the reality is, if you look at the point in time surveys, by far the majority, I think it's about 70%, are literally have connections to Butte County. And all the street work I have done, man, I have a very difficult time finding someone that just showed up here and stayed spuriously. They've either come up here because their kids are in foster care in this area, they trailed a boyfriend or a girlfriend, they came back to live with their mom. You know, it's so the whole idea of the word transient is just a falsehood. And then I'm going to bounce it back to AJ, but I want to give people an idea of what this cool site's about, man. He's got these wonderful pictures of CSUC students holding up a hashtag, you know, I am a transient, with some beautiful artwork, the pictures themselves. And maybe we'll give the Facebook and the social media stuff when I kick it back. But here's one I picked out, was my favorite. It says, my name is Jamie Cabrera. I've lived in Chico for 2 years. For a long time, the homelessness has surrounded me growing up in Los Angeles. Some of my friends struggle just to live their daily lives. As a first-generation college student, I believe it is important for homeless to be visible in our community. Homelessness has no racial or age requirements. Hashtag, I am a transient. Thank you very much, Jamie Cabrera, and all the other students at Chico State that's been involved in this. AJ.
Yeah, it's been really kind of an amazing project, and really our only real hope is to start creating a conversation around this issue in Chico. And One of the things that I've noticed kind of when moving up here in August for school is that Chico, as a community, prides itself on being a community and really does strive to be inclusive. But I feel, and a lot of my classmates feel, that they're missing the mark when it's referring to certain community members who are experiencing homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard. And it's been a very interesting way of looking at both. I have one here that I really like and have really liked, which really kind of talks about someone's personal experience while working with those experiencing homelessness, and that this isn't about transiency, that these individuals are here. So it starts off, "My name is Eliza Dyer. I have been in Chico for 5 years. When I organized with Chico Food Not Bombs, most people I talked to had been living in Chico longer. Then I had, if not their whole lives. Most people did what they could to support each other and create a community within themselves, but couldn't find with support outside. When I graduate, I will most likely move wherever I can pay my bills. So, thank you, Eliza. It's been really great, and we've had over 40 individuals, and we'll slowly start kind of continuing to unroll the social media around it. And places where you could find us are on Facebook. If you just type in the Chico Transients, you'll be able to find us on Facebook at the Chico Transients, and you can get it through the Without a Roof. It's on there, and at the Peace and Justice Center if you're already following those pages. And through our Facebook page, you can also get our Twitter account, which is the @ Chico Transients, one word, and on Instagram at Chico Transients as well. Please go on, interact with us, ask questions. We really, the only part and the only real hope that we've had through this is to start to really begin a discussion. And how do we make Chico as inclusive as it really wants to be and it looks and it markets itself to be?
So I kind of look at it as humanizing the issue. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is. It's a dehumanizing tactic. As soon as you can dehumanize somebody, you know, you kind of make people look at them differently. Yeah. What would you say to that?
I think that's right. I've really been liking this. I read this in a book by Judith Butler called Undoing Gender. And it talks about like what constitutes as a livable world and what constitutes really as a grievable life. So to dehumanize someone means that their life is not worth grieving for. And I think that's really tragic as
it is
as a humanity to do something that just makes someone the other. And it's painful.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, I was in a Butte College class doing a lecture, and I'll keep the story short, but the guy actually at the end of it said, "I have a question." He says, "You know, this person, he travels, he trims, he's on the street, he's playing music, and you're trying to humanize him?" That's what he said to me. And I said, "Well, yeah, I am. He's a human." It's like, you know, but he was upset that we were physically humanizing the guy and showing him being a human. Mm-hmm. So that's how big a push that whole issue is.
Yeah, and it's hard because it's very emotional. Mm-hmm. And the only way we're going to be able to find common ground is starting a conversation.
Yeah.
So we're really hoping that this can be that.
Awesome, AJ. Anything else, man?
Not right now. Just check us out. We're at the Chico Transients. You can find us all over Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. Follow the hashtags. Hashtag I am a transient.
Wonderful project. And you're going to try to continue it into the next school year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to work with the MSW folks over there and other folks too?
Yeah. This is going to be, we have a lot of content already. Awesome. We're going to slowly keep pushing this out and see how this goes and really just see if other ways we could possibly use this as a way to amplify this conversation that is already going on.
Thanks a lot, AJ. Once again, Guillermo Mash, you're listening to the KZFR Without a Roof program. This is a monthly program. We're on first Thursday, 6 to 7 p.m. You can find us, Without a Roof. We have a big presence on Facebook. Our main page is on Tumblr site. You can find hundreds and hundreds of human videos, anthropology-like videos out on our YouTube channel. I'm going to mix it up a little bit. We actually were just blessed to have our final guest arrive. I'm going to move up this wonderful piece by Courtney Burns. Courtney Gork Burns is a human expressionist, spoken word poet, who grew up in a in-risk, at-risk situation here in Chico, and she lives in Arcata now. She came down for the People's Palooza back in January, and she wrote and performed this amazing song at the Palooza, which I had her back in KZFR studio about 5 or 6 weeks ago. So you're going to be able to hear that right now as we get the rest of the guests ready on People Power Radio.
Mean people are scared people. This fear turns into greed, apathy, and violence. If you're privileged to have a home, food, resources, you can afford to be greedy from the comfort of your home. You can afford to be apathetic and ignore the suffering humans who have less. You can afford to be violent and let the homeless know that they're not wanted. With the phone call to the police who are given permission to harass with the anti-camping ordinance. What are you afraid of? People with houses. Your brains may have been indoctrinated with the individualistic, capitalistic programming that tells us we need to prove our worth and compete for resources, but you still have a heart with the capacity for kindness. Please open it up and see that it's cruel and unusual punishment to make it illegal to sleep in public and criminalize behavior that we would have to engage in to simply live if one day we lost everything. There's people freezing to death because of exposure. People are being crushed by garbage trucks because their shelter was the dumpster. The traumatized walk around incurring more trauma because there is no place of safety. They sleep outside because they've no place to go. They leave their stuff behind because there's no place to put it. They go to the bathroom outside because there is no bathroom. The fear of being inconvenienced leads to prejudice and irrational harassment. The fear of not having enough resources turns into desperate attempts to get fed. Poverty is the worst form of violence. So why keep defending a system that promotes it? Fight the system by letting go of fear and holding on to kindness. The way I see it, the issue isn't with the homeless. It's with the community who uses alienation to quote-unquote solve it. And I repeat, poverty is the worst form of violence. So why keep supporting a system that promotes it? Fight the system by letting go of fear and holding on to kindness. Fight the system by letting go of fear and holding on to kindness. Let's start by giving the homeless resources.
All right, we're back in the Without a Roof radio program studio here on KZFR 90.1 FM. And I'm really pleased to turn the mic over to my friend. I'm pleased to call him a friend. He's a really cool guy. Mark, welcome to the Without a Roof radio program.
Yep, that's me. I'm Wolf.
Wolf, that you told me that. You're Wolf for the rest of the broadcast. Wolf, man, let's just talk real briefly about Youth for Justice. You've been doing that internship now for about 3 months where you come in, you work an hour, you hang out. Mm-hmm. How's that? Just maybe let the listeners know, you know, how that's impacted your life and how much fun you have, why you like
it. Yeah, I began working there as just a way to make a easy 10 bucks for the week because I didn't have any kind of income at the time. When I first started, I was homeless, living in a shelter, and I was just looking for some way to have some sort of ability to get the things I need or want. And I started working there, and it's a really great environment. It's basically a drop-in center every Wednesday at begins at like 10, where I'm not even sure what the age limit is there. It's Youth for Justice.
30 and under.
30 I think it changes every day.
Mm-hmm. How so? What do you see?
Sometimes I see some older gentlemen or ladies, and it's like, whatever.
Well, actually, the center actually has people coming and going that actually are working in the center. So sometimes people that are work. Those people are actually coming in doing other business at the center.
I just thought you were just being cool.
Being cool.
I thought that was what you were doing.
I do that, too. But no, we've really been kind of...
That's the kind of environment it comes off to me.
Is it a cool environment?
Yeah.
That's nice.
And I've actually... I've met a lot of really interesting people and had a lot of interesting conversations during my time volunteering there, and it's actually been kind of eye-opening. I've talked to Chico State students, other Chico State students, and some older, wiser folk.
Older, wiser folk.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Lots of those.
Awesome, man. So tell us the story. I know this story. You listeners don't. It's a good story. So, Mark, let's hear the story that you
Yeah. When I first started working there at the center, there's this really beautiful garden in the back, and they were asking me to do garden work to try and spruce up the place and tidy it up. So I began, the first task I was given was like raking leaves, and there was so many leaves, but like, as I was doing it, I was just finding like entire environments of creatures, bugs, worms, and all sorts of things. And I was just kind of feeling bad doing them. Like I was trying to do it in a way where I wouldn't harm them, hoping they'd find some other home. And I managed to get all those leaves out. And then the second job I started doing, they asked me to pull out weeds, and I'd never done weeding or garden work, so I didn't know what a weed was, and they had to point it out to me. And I honestly didn't see the difference between those weeds and just regular plants. They all looked beautiful to me. And I just started pulling them out and, like, starting to feel bad. Like, I was like, started questioning the entire notion of a weed. Well, what makes this a weed anyway?
but it's then, almost like the word transient, you know, calling it a transient.
Right.
No doubt, yeah.
But then the last task, the one that just took me over the edge, was they asked me to clear out some tall grass and other plants for a path, but they didn't have any kind of like scythe or anything. They didn't have like anything to cut them down, like a lawnmower. I had to basically use a hoe to do it, which basically meant I had to like beat the grass down and pull it up from the bottom. And it was just kind of like... It came back to like this one long time ago. I come from this background where I lived out in the country, and I just enjoy nature, like just its beauty. Like I see stale gray cements, and I'm just, that would look so much nicer if it was crackling and had moss all over it. That's like where I come from. And I remember watching this documentary about how plants are a lot more aware of their environment than we realize. In fact, just yesterday, my managers at one of my workplaces were just talking about that. They were having a debate about that. There were a couple, whether or not plants are sentient or not. I was just like, I know what I'm talking about, since I watched a documentary on it once.
World expert now.
Yeah. But yeah, that was basically what was going through my mind. I was like, I was violently beating these plants to death and pulling them out. And it was just, I completed the task, but by the end it was like, I can't do this. I can't do this garden work. It doesn't work for me. So I came to Bill Nash. And I just told him that, yeah, I can't, I'm sorry, I can't, it's not that I can't do it, it's that I refuse to do it. And I told him exactly why, and he thought that was a great story, apparently. Like, he was surprised. And honestly, I'm not even sure if what I was feeling was correct, or not. Like, maybe those weeds were bad for the garden as a whole or something. I don't know, but I just didn't like the idea that I was choosing one life over another, mm-hmm. and I was throwing out what was considered not a useful life form. And like that, I just couldn't throw away my compassion for it. And I feel like kind of relates to homelessness in that, you know, in society, there are different classes of people who are considered more valuable than others. And in our society, those who are wealthy are the high class. You're middle class or low class, depending on your income. And the lower you are in your class, the less valuable you are. And I just don't think that should be so. I don't think anybody is a weed. Well, you know what? I'm just going to end on that. I don't think anybody is a weed.
That's a great ending. Because, you know, I have to tell you, I'm using like that show not tell skills from a storyteller. But when you came in, I could tell you were visibly upset. And I just thought it was an opportunity to just kind of validate that you really were upset doing this. And it really was no real decision for me. I'm like, cool. And I felt really, 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 really good letting you know it was okay, man. And I was glad you came and talked to me. Because it's actually some conversations I've had with both of my kids in work environments. You know, they've been having a conversation with me, and they really, really don't. I'm like, can you talk to your boss about it? Right? And they don't. They have this like, and I'm like, well, you know, you can't keep complaining about it unless you do something about it. And I thought that really showed some excellent, excellent, you know, skills on your part. It was really, really neat.
I'm still going through a period where I'm trying to be as honest with myself and other people as possible. And that was one moment where, yeah, I can say I refused to do work because I thought it was unethical.
You did. I thought it was cool, too, the continuing story. We had him, he was cleaning the windows the next week, and we had to get rid of a bunch of spiders, and we went through this really cool catch and release process.
Yeah.
It was really, I actually really had a lot of fun doing
that. Yeah, that was fun.
How not to kill a spider and
release them. Yeah, no bugs were harmed in the cleaning of these windows.
Peace and Justice Center.
Disclaimer.
Disclaimer, you know, no more plants were harmed by Mark in the Peace Garden. Thanks a lot, Mark, for that. Want to make
welcome.
Sure everyone's aware that Without a Roof is made possible by generous contributions, KZFR supporters, and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council. Since 2001, Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival and events, including Artoberfest, Chico Palo, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Fast Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn about the Friends of the Arts, visit friendoftheartsupstate.org. And by Lagaro Marketing Services, helping businesses, associates, and nonprofits stand out with outside-the-box promotional products. Whether it's branded apparel for your staff or an event, or promotional products with a purpose, Lagaro tailors programs to meet its clients' needs. To learn how Lagaro can help you and your organization through marketing, visit lagaro.com or call 355-8685. Back in the studio, man, we got next up is Addison Winslow, man. Welcome to the studio. Can't possibly get too close to the mic. There you go, man. We need to know about Addison. You grew up here in Chico?
Yeah. I went to school here and finished that, did 2 years, and then I took off a little bit. It didn't seem like the right thing to go further into it.
Mm-hmm. I know I met Addison 100th Monkey when they did that community cafe.
Yeah, working on a little nonprofit. It lasted a little while.
Yeah.
Interesting experiment.
And then I had a nice experience with you. I think it was Whitney Stevens at Safe Space 2 winters ago. That's how I met Addison. That's the backstory on how I met Addison.
Working at the shelter.
Yeah, at the shelter. And then Addison had approached me because he knew I had done some work and I'd actually been on the streets with a backpack on my back for 8 months. And we met at CSU about a year ago, and Addison was like, man, I'm going to put a backpack on and travel the country, man. So why don't you give us like a, you know, what you've done, what you've seen, and what's going on, man?
It was full of life. There's full of ambiguities and a lot happened in a year going around the country. But I think I baselined some of the important things is I was able to get a good look at society in the United States, especially young people that I talk to more, and get the different attitudes towards homelessness in that, and there's kind of a distinction between like home freedom while I'm like conscious and like open that I could go and get a job and I could have a house, so it's a little bit of a different problem. But I capture the attitude people have towards that and towards their own lives and like where they see themselves in relation to it. A lot of people romanticize the idea, and then other people see it as something gross or something that only particular people can do and everybody else has to, you know, roll through some other way.
So what did you see? Did you see this? I mean, I noticed immediately, as soon as you're wearing a backpack, people look at you differently. What's your experience with that, man?
Yeah, well, it's kind of expected that you don't have money to contribute to places. So that means that you aren't really useful in the place, and especially in big cities and touristy areas, or you won't be given water. where people will treat you differently. But then there's always is those people who might be like really interested in what you're doing, and it depends on the place a lot, and whether people expect that I'm going to be some kid on drugs, or whether I'm some like coming off the PCT or something. If somebody thinks that, then they'll have a different attitude towards me.
Pacific Crest Tarot for any of those non-backpackers, you know. So you've gone as far as, you know, how far have you gone? I've seen pictures of you in Washington. I've seen, what's been your route, man? Can you give us some highlights?
The route was a little, I mean, I went up to the Northwest and came down. Eventually ended up as far as Florida. I was arrested in Alabama, and that was a big story there. And I went up to Maine during the winter. Gosh, and lost all my gear and still went up there, dead phone, and still went to Vermont. And came down, went back down to Alabama, then went back up to Rainbow Gathering, out to Iowa, and then made my way back, and I just got in last night. Guy picked me up in Montana, and he was going all the way to San Francisco, so we rolled together for the next 3 days.
That's cool. Is this your first time back to Chico?
Yeah, I've been gone for the entire year.
I think it's kind of cool because Bernie right now is over at Chico State University campus. You know, right now, maybe he's not quite there yet, but he's going to be speaking tonight. But the whole Alabama thing was, as Addison was arrested on, I think it was a public campus for, you know, being there when he shouldn't have been. Maybe if you could describe that, because the thing that really got me, I'm like, what do you mean you're trying to determine what people can or can't be on a campus? Maybe you could explain a little bit that whole Alabama thing.
There was no like legality to it. That's important. They ended up dropping the case after I opted for a jury trial, and I had a lawyer because it became a story in Birmingham, Alabama. The city just declined to give a jury trial, and then I came back 6 months later not knowing that was something that they would do. And then a new prosecuting attorney, he ended up dropping the case because he read the story and saw that there was nowhere for them to go. But it would be possible for me to probably to press charges and to get something back, but that would cost about like it cost something like $7,000. It would get me something like $6,000. And this is with a law firm like on my back.
So was that on a public university?
Yeah, it was the University of Alabama at Birmingham. It's a public university. I was allowed to be sitting there. The officer didn't know that. Another officer I talked to while I was sitting in the back of the police car also was not sure whether or not I was allowed to be there. He was demanding I had given my ID. And that's also not something anybody's legally obliged to do, unless there's a good reason. But I was just sitting there having a backpack. Mm-hmm. And
breaking no law.
Yeah, breaking no law. And so he said disorderly conduct and disturbing the peace was the charge, which is one that if they don't find any marijuana on you, that's what they put on.
Yeah, you know, and it really hurts me because that's used throughout the United States as a way to harass homeless people. Because they know mm-hmm. a lot of times people they're traveling through. There's many, many reasons people don't show up for their court dates. So it's just a way to harass homeless people and physically enforce laws that aren't even on the books. Yeah, I've got dozens of stories, man. I'm glad you were able to kind of work that whole thing out, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was a $35 flat fee for getting arrested, and that never came back. But I have a $300 check to cash and give back to my mom for mm-hmm. bail.
How cool is it to be back in Chico, man?
It's nice. I'm getting to see people. You know, I've like again, life's ambiguous, but I've got a lot to do. I've only been here for like. Less 24 hours now.
Uh-huh. How was the Idaho Panhandle, man? It's really like...
The Idaho Panhandle? People were spooky out there. I can tell you. Everybody was really spooky.
I've been to Idaho.
Yeah. Yeah. People are all worried about... In fact, I guess it was the attitude of some people who said they were homeless towards other homeless people was that they're tweakers and will probably hurt you at night and sleep with your knife. And it was really spooky, and we didn't have any problems because there's a lot of forest around there. I don't think that it's not closed quarters.
No. And the nights are starting to get pretty long up there, man. Mm-hmm. When does the sun set? Like, even right now, probably like 9:30, 10 o'clock?
Oh, yeah, it was about 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock?
Especially driving west, awesome. Too, it prolongs it.
What other stories stand out, man? You got one more story? On the road with Addison Winslow?
Shoot, particular stories. I could come up with a whole lot, but I think something that's really, really important, I think a lot of people should see, is that I talk to a lot of people, and then they're, when they do romantic, some like young people would romanticize. Like, oh, you can just take off. You can just go over here. I wish I could do that. And generally, there's really like common theme of people going to college in order to get a degree that they don't care to have in particular. But it's because they know that that's the only way that they can expect to be successful. And they don't really like looking at it, too, is, you know, they talk about their debt and it gets really like low and people looking for some mode out. And they see that's the only option and kind of look at. Something like traveling as another option, but something that isn't quite fit for them. And I don't know why. I guess it's the view they have of a life like that. But I think as pressures become greater, more and more people will turn towards something else. And sometimes that's just you can't afford real estate in the United States if you don't work a good job. And you don't work a good job, you got to be a little creative.
Yeah, we had a whole conversation with Carrington like a 2 or 3 months ago. Another person was an artist that came here and was like starting to hear these stories. And I was like, everyone's getting down on people that are homeless or youth that are traveling. Man, these people are heroes. Some of the things that they overcome and some of the experiences they have, mm-hmm. It's freaking amazing, man. Anything else for us, man?
I'll leave it at that.
I'll have to have you on again, man. You know?
Yeah, we can talk.
Every time you come to Chico, I'll give you an invite.
Okay.
Yeah, that should work out pretty good. We have a wonderful guest here. She's actually also an intern. You just started on Youth for Justice. We have Brittany. Welcome to the studio, Brittany.
Hello, Bill.
Hi. Nice to see you.
Personally, I have been somebody here in Chico that has been working on, was never really homeless, but loved to travel, and came back here to Chico to finally actually, like, make a homestead and just be able to have a place for a nest to call home that was safe, that you always knew it was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't really happen if you keep traveling or if you're just constantly camping out. It makes it really difficult for anyone, any youth or anyone to really get a job or establish residency. I see a lot of good people out there, but since the city ordinance for homelessness has passed in Chico, it's been, I've lost a lot of friends to, and the culture in this town has become a little bit more, this is just out of spoken opinion, has become more not as cultural as it once was when I first came around here.
Maybe not as compassionate, or
yeah. It's not as compassionate, not as cultural. I don't see as many bands just coming out to practice in the plaza or doing art and stuff. Now it's all I see is druggies and tweakers, or I actually see people that once were perfectly clean and actually are really young and with guitar, just play guitar and everything, and they're joined up right along with them in the stress of being homeless and no support or guidance. So speaking out, anyone out there listening, you know, gotta say, if you can reach out in small ways, doesn't have to be money or material, but guidance and support. That does the best for all youth, and even the youth that has a home, but they won't speak up for themselves that it's safe to be there.
You want, and AJ, you got something, man?
Yeah, real quickly. I was thinking about the ordinance again, and I think what you were saying really ties also back into that project we've been doing, where the beginning and the background info about the ordinance itself talks about this permanent transient population.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then the word transient, the word homeless, is not put anywhere in it. So they disguise this bill and this ordinance as an environmental bill and ordinance rather than something specifically targeting a group. But in the background information, they use this oxymoronic statement of a permanent transient population, which just further marginalizes this group of people. So thank you, Brittany, for talking on that, because it is an issue, and it does hold people down who are really trying and striving to work their way forward.
Go ahead, Brittany. Go ahead.
I'm most definitely and most welcome, AJ, and I gotta say that I just feel like saying this just out of instinct, you know, maybe there's some city council members are actually listening. May actually think about this, is I had this idea to actually possibly set up something for all the camping and issues along the creeks and around town, just by setting up not really a shelter, but a homeless property where, you know, it's like fenced up and it's like runs like the shelters and actually can reach out for youth and stuff. And even travelers are coming through town, you know, because travelers, people look at them wrong. They'll be sitting on the ground, you know, they think they're spanging when they're jogging for gas or just need food. Anyway.
Thank you. So, thank you guys for landing. We only got a minute left. All right. A minute left. And I'm just going to play a portion of an interview I did with Courtney Burns, actually from her foster care system. But I want to thank all of our guests that have been on the June 2016 Without a Roof Radio program. I'm Guillermo Mash, and thank you so much for listening to People Power Radio.
Glad to be on the radio.
So we're going to talk a little bit about how the system's broke and what you would do to fix it.
What I heard a lot in the foster care system was, we don't have the resources. And two, I heard a lot of people, I just don't have the training to be able to help you. And to me, that just was a little mind-blowing, because it's like, you don't have to be a licensed therapist in order to listen to someone, in order to sit with someone while they're experiencing emotions. You don't have to be a therapist to know that it's harmful to judge someone who's having a really hard time and to meet them with criticism instead of love and affection. My experience with the foster care and behavioral health system has not hardened me. It has not broken me. If anything, I learned what I don't want to be. I learned that I want to show love and affection and empathy. I want to give people the space to express themselves, even if it is slightly uncomfortable for me, even if I have quote-unquote better things to do. To me, there is no better thing to do than to sit with and validate another human's experience. And that's how I'll continue to live my life. I host a human expression open mic night. Every week I give people 3 hours of space to get up on a mic and express themselves, no matter what that looks or sounds like. And, you know, they're going to be met with appreciation and with acceptance.